Hi, you've tuned in to the Lovely Travels podcast, where we talk about all things travel and adventure. My name is Emma Lovell, also known as Lovely, and I have a mission to visit every UN-recognised country in the world while raising awareness for mental health. Join me as we revisit some of my past adventures, speak to fellow travellers and interesting locals, all while following the journey to 195 countries. I'll be joined soon by my co-pilot, Darius, in Germany. And sometimes we're even going to hit the road together. Make sure to join in the adventure by following me on Instagram, Lovely Travels. You can also join our Facebook group, Lovely Travels Community, and learn more about us at the website, lovelytravels.com. But for now, it's listening time. Travel vicariously along with us.
Hello and welcome back to the Lovely Travels podcast, everyone. How are you this week, Emma?
I am well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. You know me. Emma, yes. I heard a rumor that we have another travel professional on this week. Can you confirm or deny?
I can confirm. Happy to have our first official travel business industry person on the podcast, which is really cool. Rochelle Matheson from Jigsaw Travel and Mogul Ski World.
Is she a travel agent?
She is a travel advisor. So she does a lot more than travel, being a travel agent, and she's going to tell us all about that. And, you know, in a year when the travel industry was decimated, Rochelle and her business and her attitude toward business and her attitude toward the future of travel, it's been so inspiring, and it was so wonderful to talk to her because she's so optimistic about the future and the way we travel, and has some wonderful advice for people moving forward. So, yeah, it was a really good chat. Wow.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I'm looking forward to this one. I look forward to all our ones, but this one I'm really looking forward to.
Good. Well, make sure to jump on, everybody. Check them out on Instagram, Jigsaw Travel. Website is jigsawtravel.com.au. And then if you're into the skiing, which you should be because it's awesome, there's mogulski.com.au and on Instagram, Mogul Ski World. And that's like mogul as in the moguls that you ski over. So M-O-G-U-L.
What's a mogul?
Mogul's like a bump. As a snowboarder, we don't like moguls. Skiers like moguls. And it's in the Olympics, in the Winter Olympics. It's an event. It's the one where they look like they're like jackhammering down. They go dook, 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 and then they go off a big jump. Yeah, it's, as a snowboarder, it's like the worst nightmare. And skiers hate us because we just like ride over them and just smush them. And they're like, damn you snowboarders. And we're like, damn you skiers creating them. And it's like this, yeah.
Well, I've entered into some parallel universe, which I have no idea about.
We didn't discuss the moguls on the episodes. I'm glad we've clarified that now.
Okay, that's good. You're welcome, everyone. I'm here for all the questions you thought were too stupid to ask.
There you go. And I've given you a fact. There you go, Darius. You can pull one out later.
Win a classic win-win-win situation.
Shall we listen in?
We better.
Welcome to the podcast, Rochelle. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Emma. It's great to be. I'm actually really excited to be here because I've met you in Business Chicks, and seriously, you have pushed me so far and motivated me, which has been fabulous. You've really taken me out of my comfort zone, which I love.
Oh, I love that. And, you know, well, that happens with travel anyway as well. So, and we are, you know, kindred spirits in that we both love travel, so we bonded straight away. I heard you working that. So, I mean, I was going to say, tell us how we know each other, but just in your words, tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I'm a Melbourne girl, so we've been in lockdowns. It's been a bit challenging, but I've been in travel for 30 years, and I must say I seriously love it. I love designing tailor-made holidays for my clients. And in saying that, when I first got into this industry, I really was so passionate about what I did that I worked out fairly quickly I didn't want to do fast food travel. That being cheap, easy, and mass produced, I really wanted to give my clients something unique and that can't be Googled. So, you know, when I first got in, Google wasn't there, but obviously now people go straight to Google. So I just want to give them experiences that they're going to come back to me and say, my God, that was life-changing. And our family will remember that for life, you know, and that's what I love to hear. So that's really me.
I love that. And I think sometimes when people are starting out with travel or haven't traveled as much, you do really just like, it's just cost versus, well, it's just price you're looking at. But then when you go on one of those types of trips, you know, and you experience that, it's like, okay. And even myself, I mean, I've been traveling since I was 18. I think, you know, my budget definitely has got bigger. But I've, in the past few years we've talked about, I've started to do these tailor-made trips and these, you know, I go through an agent, they book us an itinerary. And yes, it costs more than if I would do it myself. But they show, take me to places that I would never know about, and they give me an experience that I would never have had, and I don't have to worry. I don't have to do anything. Like,
exactly.
I just go and somebody takes me from A to B, and it's just, and it's an actual holiday for once. So I've seen the value, and yes, you know, I have to push that aside sometimes and think about your future. I tell people, think about your future self. What would future Emma want? not to think about.
Yeah. And it can be an expense, but you know, not every experience is luxury dollars. You know, there are so many other things that you can do. It can be bike riding. It can be going off and being in someone's home and just spending some time with a local. So I really find that once you know your client and know what they really want, you work towards their budget. But all I say is just give them one experience. It's the only thing I say to my client, look, if you can't afford that full on tailor-made package, take what you can and just do one experience, because you'll remember that and you'll immerse yourself in that destination, which I think is all you want to do, is walk away and think that you've at least experienced something of the destination.
Yeah. And it's really cool having you. You're actually kind of like our first travel industry professional, like actually working officially in the travel industry. We've had people on who've dabbled or who've you know, blog like myself, or who kind of have something on the side, but to have someone who's actually in the industry is fantastic. And so you said obviously this year's been a bit different, so you live in Melbourne and you're in lockdown. What's the year been like for you?
Look, the year's been very challenging, and I think, you know, for us and to see our clients, like we've done so much to try and entertain them with travel from home and doing things like that, that I think now they're just bursting at the seams to get out. So we've seen all the, like, lucky Queensland and South Australia have all been able to travel, and we've sort of put that to the back end. So I think now that we've had positive news, everyone is just dying to make bookings. So we've found over the last probably 10 days that we've got these Victorians just wanting to get out. But unfortunately, the Queenslanders and the Tasmania, they've all booked. They've booked everything. So it's going to be challenging for everyone to try and find something for our clients. I know there is so much out there, but we're all based on a seasonal product, and we've only got one product to sell and make sure that we get into those seasons. So yeah, so look, at the moment we're just trying to find whatever we can and make our clients have a little bit of a break, because I think that's all they want at the moment. They just want to feel like they're not in their homes.
Yeah. Anywhere but here is exactly my motto for this year. But
exactly,
I have totally admired your attitude throughout. We've talked quite a few times this year since we met, and you know, for one of the industries that, you know, there's many industries that have been impacted, but I think we can all agree travel was probably the most obvious and one of the hardest hit. Your attitude and your approach and your calm and cool, you know, it's been lovely to see, and the optimism that it will, because, you know, as soon as like, if I ever travel again, I'm like, you will travel again. And that's
exactly,
you know, we, that's where, you know, with this podcast, like, you know, it's like, it seems ridiculous to launch a travel podcast during a pandemic when you can't travel, but it's been so lovely to look back on those memories and to talk about travel as it was and to be hopeful of, you know, and get ideas for what might be.
Exactly. Look, honestly, there's no, yes, we've been decimated and we all know that, but no one wants to ring a travel advisor and they'd be miserable. You're ringing me for a dream. You want something and you're dreaming that this is going to be a reality. So I think you have to stay positive. And we all know the planes are going to go again. We all know we're going to see that loved one somewhere, or we're going to sit on a beach or just get outdoors. So I just never, ever imagined it would probably go this long. Being honest, we never thought when we first heard this in January, February, oh, you know, we'll be back in September, you know, and now it's November. So I suppose, you know, in that sense, we're just keeping on going. But it's made me appreciate what I do and actually miss helping people, because that's what we really do. We get so much inspiration about hearing people when they come back, or just the happiness of what they're doing. So yeah, I just find being negative is not something people want to hear, and you've just got to get that mindset right. And that's all I've tried to do, and I must say that having the group of you girls has really helped me have that positive mindset. Because you're also bubbly and happy and your businesses are all thriving. So, of course, why wouldn't you be happy?
I love it. I'm glad to hear that. And so we've established you from Melbourne, but where were you from originally?
I was from the country. I'm a country girl. I'm from Bendigo. And I suppose people who know Victoria probably think that's not the country. But back when I was born, it was the country. So, you know, I did a lot of outdoor things. Like, we fished, we yabbied, we did everything, really. And I married a country boy as well. So, you know, I think in saying that, that's why I love the outdoors. And we ski and, you know, everything to do about keeping the family together. And even when we went, we lived in the city, like we live in the city, and the kids had their friends over, my husband would take the motorbike riding and go off to a farm, and they were just like, oh my God, this is just the best thing ever. You know, it's like, I think that really makes who you are, being able to experience things, not just the city as such.
Absolutely. And it is a different lifestyle, and even it doesn't have to go far, but it feels different, and country Victoria is beautiful.
So yeah,
really lovely. And yeah, but Bendigo still has that charm because it's a big part of the gold rush. So it's quite
exactly
a lovely, you know, oldie worldie type feeling. So it's still a nice, in, you know, does still have that country vibe, even though they've upgraded as well.
Yeah. My husband's from Mildura, so we probably go back to Mildura a bit more. So that's, I would say, more of the country life as such. I really think that having that fresh air and getting outdoors is really makes you want to. And I get to pack my bag. So, it's like going away for a couple of days. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's bliss.
And so I'm going to ask a traveller the worst question I can.
Yeah.
She's already dreading it. I probably need to remove this question because everyone's like, I hate this.
Exactly.
But what is your favourite country and why?
Okay. I had to think long and hard about this one because people ask me this all the time. And I'd probably say Africa, because I've had the most memorable moments with my kids. And it was so raw to me seeing some of these things. It was a good experience for my family to see that as well. And of course, it's outdoors. So to me, that is something that we love doing. And I suppose, and now if I could have one more, it would be like in the Scandinavia region, like having that, because it's just magical. It seriously, to see that area is magical. So they're probably my favourite destinations. but there's plenty more that I haven't been to. So, you know, that could change.
And so in Africa, were you sort of more like South Africa or East Africa kind of like?
So we did East. Yeah. So we did East. We did Kenya and Tanzania, which to me is probably the more of the highlight. We wanted to be out in areas that we were just in tents. So that's all I ever care for. Seeing the stars at night is probably one of the most relaxing and amazing things ever. Being a country girl, when I live in the city, we don't see it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I guess in Scandinavia, if you were there in winter, then you would see the Northern Lights potentially.
Yes, we did. We were fortunate enough and they were beautiful. Like we were on a horse-drawn cart and out in the middle of the Arctic. It was just, breathtaking.
I'll have to get you to plan a trip in my bucket list now. My friends did it a few years ago. A couple of friends have done it, and it's those igloos, clear igloos. So you sleep in a clear tent and then you've got the lights above. And I was very, that was, I don't get much envy, but seeing that, I was I want to do it.
Exactly. And it is, I can tell you, they set your beds up. And I mean, I have done that and it is. It is just fabulous. So, yes, you can put that on your bucket list.
Yeah. I'm just going to be like, I'm just going to have like reel off this thing to Rochelle, but like, just make me my dream trip.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then, again, another not very popular question. And it doesn't have to be, I always preface this with, it's not because it's a bad place. It's not because it's, it's just because of the experience possibly you had. So, your least favorite country you visited.
Okay. I will explain myself. Probably Bali is probably my least, but I think in saying that it's because I didn't immerse myself in the culture. Mm-hmm. We went there for that, sun, flop drop, and I probably didn't get what I really wanted to get out of it because of all the markets and all the push and all of that. And it's a bit like China. I think you've got to really go deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. To experience that. So I hate to say that it wasn't my favourite, but I think it was my own fault for not taking one of those experiences and actually, seeing what really was behind the scenes there, because so many people have remarkable experiences there.
Oh, it can be extremely spiritual.
Exactly.
It's diverse. I mean, Indonesia, Greater Indonesia, it's got some of the most, thousands of islands, something ridiculous. The other thing I'd say for Bali is I've been fortunate both times to connect with locals and to have somebody local who just took me like a sidestep. So you got the really famous beach and then they took me to the beach next door. And just that little bit of difference and hearing a bit of the language and stuff like that, because it's one of those places a bit like Hawaii where you could easily end up just in the tourist zone. And, you go there for that. You go there for a relaxing holiday. But if you're people like us who do like that immersion, then you feel like, oh, I missed out. And you're like, oh, I wanted the resort thing, but wait, now I need something more. So being able to find a way to do that. And I did that actually in Fiji. We had the resort theme. It was good for a few days, but we luckily met one of the restaurant ladies and she said, do you want to come and visit my village? And that meant I got my cultural fix.
yeah. And I think that's important. I think we all forget about that. And, as someone's probably listening to this saying, well, why wouldn't you have done that? And it's just like, well, we all sort of get swept up in the moment that, we're just going to go to Bali, have a good time and do that. But then I think sometimes you walk away wanting a little bit more, as you say, you just wish that you would have probably spent one more day just doing that outside of the, Seminyak area.
Yeah. And there's ways to do it and it's a little bit of digging, but or not even a little bit of digging, it's just connecting with finding a more cultural experience. And some of them, to be fair, are sold as a cultural experience and you go and they're very, surface level. So you do have to do a little bit of going through the right people, but you got to learn those lessons sometimes too and remember what you love. So yeah, totally. Thank you. I know that's a hard one.
Exactly.
Now, you said you've been in travel for 30 years, so how did you get into it?
Well, it was really funny. I actually was a qualified legal secretary, so I could do shorthand and I could type 90 words per minute, all of this sort of stuff, and I absolutely hated it. I'd been in the job for 2 months and I saw an ad that said that they wanted a go-to girl back then, you know, that's how it was, and that could type and type accurately and do itineraries and love to travel. And I thought, oh, my God, this is just the dream job. So I went thinking I'm going to get it, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I just, you know, hands down, I had the job that day. I had a license and I could drop itineraries, you know, like documents to people, and I've never looked back. Yeah, it's great.
I love it. That's so cool. They're meant to be.
Exactly, yeah.
And so, you know, you mentioned before that like when you were talking about yourself, you said travel advisor. And now I have the term here, travel agent, which is probably the more common name. But can you explain to me, because I think some people, especially as you mentioned, in the day of Google and Skyscanner and bookings.com and all of that has, what is the role of a travel agent or a travel advisor these days?
Okay. So I suppose we look at that we're a travel advisor because we're like a tax agent, tax advisor, where you go there to get information. So we sort of put ourselves as an architect. They've been qualified. They've actually know their stuff, and we just don't work on commission-based like some of these big corporations. We actually do it because we want to and it's our passion. So the advisor term is more that we advise you of different options that you can do. And really for us, we create these itineraries that put everything together, more like a quintessential concierge as such. So if you want a restaurant booked, I've had people that I've had to book hairdressing appointments, you know, all these sort of things, we do the whole lot. So you more or less just pick your bag up and go. Nothing's too hard for us. And I suppose that's what we really do for you from A to B and to coming out, it is just everything's done. And I think that's the difference between a travel agent and a travel advisor, is that we do your whole package. And, you know, that I think then gives you the experience that you think that you want, really.
And absolutely. I mean, look, I think we've all these days tried to plan a trip for ourselves, and the, you know, it's lovely having access to information, but it's also a minefield.
Exactly.
So much time going back and forth, trying to find things, when instead, you know, you can start the holiday early, and the starting holiday early is going, I want to go to Scandinavia. I want to do X, Y, Z, and I have 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you guys can take over and recommend things. And, you know, I think sometimes when you're doing it yourself, you can get a bit of FOMO and a bit of, like, choice. What's that thing? It's like this is the too much choice thing. So we're looking at 500 hotels. I don't know what's good, bad, indifferent. Whereas you know, and I don't know what I don't know, I don't know what I'm missing out on. Whereas when you're doing it yourself, you go, oh, should I have booked this? Should I have booked that? Should I, you know, that's $50 more, that's $100 more, and oh, but that one has breakfast and that one doesn't. And
I think our major thing is that so many people are time poor now. Most families, both people work. So it's like, do they want to come home and go through hours and hours of research of doing this? And I think that's one of the biggest reasons a lot of people use us. They also use us for the benefits, because we're part of so many groups that give free upgrades, free breakfast, you know, all these amenities, that free nights, that you're searching on that web thinking, is that good, is that bad? And it's like, well, how do you really know?
Yeah.
It's a proposal from me. They'll get 4 options of a hotel. Everything it includes is, and a map of where everything is. So I've more or less done all your research in one go. You know, you're not going, oh, where is it? Where's it located? You know, so it's all these sort of things that I'm trying to save you time.
Oh, we've all done that horror one, haven't we? You booked a hotel, you've gone, oh, it looks bad, blah, 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 and then found out it's on the bloody outskirts of town, 100 kilometres from the airport, and you've had to spend, you know, $100, $200 on a taxi just to get there. Or I've done the old book the wrong airport. You know, I didn't book the major airport, I booked the other airport, and then had to, you know, get there. Yeah. And then, you know, all the money you saved on that flight, you've now spent on the train and the bus and the hours of stress getting there. So having somebody who knows where things are in relation, having that those things are included, and like you said, getting an upgrade, getting there, yeah, and going, oh, I think I'm going to get this, and then turning up and they say, well, actually, we've put you in the ocean view room, or we've included this dinner for you, or have a glass of champagne, and that just, oh, what a treat.
Have it on us. Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, look, it's a horrible thing to say, but, you know, everyone does it. We go through the Expedia, the booking.com, and it's mass produced. So they're going to get the worst room in the hotel because it's like there's not much revenue spent there. So when you're getting these things that have come in and built relationships with them and you say, hey, I've got this great person coming in, it's a really special moment for them, can you make sure you look after them? If there's something there you can give them, can you give it to them? And you've actually had that communication that's not just online and it's booked and you turn up. So, you know, I think that's one of the biggest assets, that you can know that you're going to actually get something a little bit better. And if something does go wrong, God help you. You know, if you've booked first thing, your husband or your partner or whoever it is traveling with you, they're going to just give you daggers.
Like, yes.
Seriously? Yeah. You know, seriously, you did this, you know, yeah. Well, why didn't you do this? And you're the one. I mean, the first thing I want.
Feeling, yeah. You know, and I've actually just made me remember, I did one in Mexico, and it's the algorithms get you too. So I've gone through, I was doing an all-inclusive. As I said, there's hundreds of them. I found one for a good price. It's got things I like, da-di-da. It's one night. We're going to splurge. And I wanted to give my husband that experience. I've had it before. So I said, come on, we'll just do this one thing. We turn up and it is just a shit fight. It is like, you know, it's Cancun. It's the start of spring, sort of the pre-spring break, which I, you know, timings I didn't realize. So obviously someone like you would have told me that.
You were there in March.
Yep. I was just breaking my life choices and I'm standing at this counter and going, what have I done? There's 18, 19 year olds next to me. There's kids running around screaming. And I said, you know, get to the counter. Very fortunately, we were very, 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 very lucky. They happened to overbooked, so they put us to their sister resort, which happened to be a 5-star diamond, blah, blah, blah. Turned good story. But I said to her, like, why is this so busy? Like, why is this so popular? Is this, like, just because of spring break or is it always? And she said, it's a very popular one with the travel agents. So these group package tour things, it's one of those popular ones. So no wonder I saw it in the algorithm. It's pulled it up for me. And a lot of people are getting this great deal and booking to the point where they're overbooking. And it's like, you know, and I don't know from the photos and all that stuff, you don't know how busy it's going to be. And so I just said, yeah, is this just normal? And they said, yes, this is like kind of a preferred choice. And so despite the fact there's 100 hotels along that row, they're all sending them there first. And so Expedia or blah, blah, also sent me there first. And had I talked to someone like you, it would have gone, actually, that's a really popular one and all the spring break and all the kids go there. So why don't we send you a couple doors down where they don't go? So anyway, it worked out to be a good story, but
it came out good in the end.
And I just was like, what have I done? And wasted money. And it's an awful feeling. Yes. Lesson learned.
We hear lots of those and we hear lots of, you know, people being stranded that have made mistakes and they then call a friend and they say, please, just reach out to them, see what they can do. You know, you hear really sad stories about things like this, but yours was a good one. So, you know, being upgraded and walked is a good thing.
Yeah, it was very, very lucky. I will play a little bit on my Spanish too. So if you speak the language, that's true. I think I charmed the lady. But she was like, oh, thank God I can talk to my language. But anyway, so, yeah, I mean, what happens when things go wrong for people? I obviously had to, I sorted that out myself. What happens when
this is the most challenging thing, because we've had all sorts of things happen, you know, like when the volcano in Bali, we had people there that we had to get out that hadn't even booked through us. But we would help, you know, of course you're going to help these people and you're going to do things. Probably the last one that to everyone's mind that they can relate to is obviously the pandemic. And when the borders were shut, you had how many days to get back in? And we had one girl in our office and she was up till probably 2-3 in the morning trying to get these clients home from South America. Mm. So, you know, there are so many people stranded over there at the moment, and she got the last couple of seats and got them home the last flight back into Australia. Yep. And I suppose if they didn't have that, they wouldn't have got on that flight, because yep. Who do you call? What do you do? Trying to speak the language. If you're on an online system, you just can't find the help. So they're disastrous stories, and you just want to get, you really want to get them home. I've also had people, as you could probably relate to this, saw that it was 12:05 and didn't realize it was midnight, like 5 minutes past midnight, and missed their flight. So, you know, there's so many of those, and it's please, like, help, or they haven't checked their passport that they've got 6 months on it.
Yeah.
And so all these countries now, and like everyone just has to realize that their passport's only valid for 9 years and 6 months. That's it. Don't think it's valid for 10 years, because it's just not. So, yeah, there's so many stories. But the good thing is, if you usually can fix all of them, whether it costs, you know, I can't say that it hasn't cost on some things, but to know that you can actually pick the phone up and say, help. And usually we would say, just go off for the day, go and enjoy it. By the time you get back, we'll have it sorted. So you're not even taking that time out of your holiday as well. So we're doing it for you. So I think that's also something to remember, having someone to have on the other end. I know it's a big spiel, I'm trying to say blah, 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 but it's just important because time is precious.
No, absolutely. And look, I've booked my flights through, I had a travel agent I booked through, and just those times that, you know, and you can still go and have a little bit of research yourself, like by all means, you don't have to completely be clueless, but like he has access to the system. And if something changes, he would tell me beforehand or go, hey, yeah, okay, I know you want to spend less, but you're also going to spend an extra 10 hours in an airport. Do you really want to do that? I wouldn't have picked that up myself, you know. So having him and just, yeah, things have changed sometimes mid-trip, and he can never say, hey, just a reminder, this has happened. So and sending me a lovely note going, have you booked your travel insurance? Is your passport valid? Have you got your ESTA for America? No, I haven't. Thank you for reminding me. Sometimes I'm like, oh, shut up, I'll do it tomorrow.
But as we all do.
The role of that. And I said to you, done a package tour in India, well, not packaged, a customized itinerary in India, and just getting a little call or a little text going, hi Emma, just letting you know the flight's changed for tomorrow. We've already talked to the driver, they'll take you at that time. Oh, yeah. Cool. Just they'll just tell me to be ready.
And you know, how special do you feel? Can you imagine this? So I think that everyone feels important, and I think that's a good thing. You just feel like you're well looked after.
And cared for, and in a place like somewhere like India, or, you know, I keep saying, you know, or, you know, some of the countries in Africa, like you, is so fun. And the systems, the way they do things is very different to us. And so to have somebody on your side that you can message and has a partner there, so you're getting the local experience and you're getting the local operators, but you know that they're partnered with the company that you've booked through, and that they're all going to communicate and take care of you. It's a very comforting feeling.
I think so. I think that's going to, as the future evolves of what we want, I think people are going to want more of that. Look, I'm not saying that's going to be forever, but I think for the next few years, people are going to want those choices.
Well, and I think a lot of people got that lesson during COVID, you know, having booked things for themselves. Even, you know, my aunt was meant to come out to Australia. I think she booked on like Opodo or something, trying to get her flight sorted or refunded or whatever. I mean, it's basically like, sorry, too bad, so sad, you know. Trying to arrange, sometimes, you know, doing multiple countries or whatever, you could be doing 10, 15 bookings you're trying to fix, whereas that one person could help you. So I think people learned this year travel insurance was a big one.
I
understand some travel insurers weren't as good to people as others, but travel insurance, you know, getting support, you know, having somebody to reach out to if something does go wrong. And knowing what's available now, like,
you know. and it's just knowing, like, there were so many options out there when this all first happened. The airline said, no, you could only get a credit. No, you couldn't get your money back. And it was actually giving all the options to clients. And now, even to this point, Qantas are refunding in different manners, but we're doing all that work for them. So we're finding it all out. We were holding online for insurance companies for hours. Like, I was doing my claims for my clients that they never even had to worry about it. So they just said, here it is, and Rachel, just fix it and come back. And yes, sure, some people did lose money. But as I've told you in the past, I've not had one person complain, because everything we've done for them is we've been there for them. They've been able to talk to us. Everyone is reachable, and we've given them options and said, this is what they've offered and this is what we're offering, you know, just come back to us. And we've never held, you know, wherever we could give back money, everything was given back. And I think that's the important thing. You've got to have trust. And moving forward, for everyone, you'll remember the ones that you didn't have that trust with, and those online or the agents that didn't do that, you know, they're unfortunate. But that can be in any industry, industry out there. You know, there's always going to be some rogues. So, look, we're blessed that we haven't had one complaint. So, you know, and I've been on the phone since day one, and it's a great feeling. Everyone has been so appreciative of just having someone to help them.
That's so lovely to hear. And, you know, I was going to ask you, so how are you sort of supporting travellers now? Like, you know, we talked about it a little bit at the start, but, like, what are people doing when they haven't been able to travel, and what's the next steps for them, I guess?
Well, I suppose, as I said, we've been doing the marketing of sending out, no selling whatsoever. It is really just like messaging of moving around and seeing different destinations and experiences in Australia, like going to Ningaloo and seeing that. And it's not necessarily booking the car. We're just showing them what's out there. We've given them the travel from home of different wellness, like yoga, free cooking, all these sort of things in those EDM, well, we call them EDMs, so website, you know, like marketing material that we send out to them. They're getting all that. I sent postcards to my clients just to say, you know, remember this old-fashioned way. And I can't tell you the response we got. I got people that actually rang me and said, wow, we've been thinking of you. So, and of course, we're thinking of them because they're so wanting to get away as well. So I think that's really hard for what other messaging we're getting out there, because you don't want to put the hard sell on someone when they can't. When they can't go away, all we want to do is show them what is out there and what's in our beautiful country, and then give them little snippets of what will be in the future.
I love that. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I mean, oh, God, I love postcards. I like buy them, but I don't send them. I just, sometimes they're so beautiful. It's such
a thing to have.
So that, what a wonderful thing to receive.
Yeah, and it was just like, it was a messaging of look what's in your own backyard. And it was just three pictures of iconic things in Australia. So it was really nice and touching, I think. So just to get an old-fashioned postcard, and we designed it, I thought that was good. Yeah.
And you're practicing what you preach, and you've got a few trips booked or planned in Australia in the next 6 months to a year.
Yes. Yeah. I told you I'm very fortunate. I'm doing Gwingana, and seriously, doing what I do, we work 24/7. And I'm doing a little program that is to switch off. funnily enough. And that's not to be on social media, not to pick up your phone, and sort of just get that wellness back in my life, which is really what I've learned from Business Chicks, doing those webinars of trying to have a better control of where your life's going. And I've loved all that part of it. So, of course, I booked 8 nights to Gwingana and really looking forward to that, if I can get into Queensland in January. So, and my other is a really big thing that's been on my wish list, which I told you, I'm going to Uluru. So spending 4 nights up there, and I think that will just be amazing. I've never been there, so I think this will just be so beautiful. And to see the stars will be so much what I want. It just, I don't know, it's seeing stars to me is the highlight of a holiday.
Oh, look, sad, I know. Stars there, plenty of a whole lot of nothing. Beautiful nothing. There's lovely things to see around Uluru and Northern Territory, but that openness and that really Australia feel of the landscape and just seeing colours and things that you've never seen and being, it's extremely spiritual there as well because of, you know, that's the heart of the Indigenous land. And what a wonderful thing for us to connect with this year.
And I think it's really important. I think it's really important that we give back. We give back in some way to our communities that we're in. And that's something that I really wanted to do. And sort of, I think if you're going to be passionate about what you do, and I'm selling Australia, I also want to experience stuff that I've never experienced before because I've been too busy traveling around the world. So I think it's nice that we're all giving back in some way. And I think whether it's just down the road, 2 hours in the car, doesn't matter. As long as we give to these communities that have been hit is important.
I love it. And this is a tough question again, but if you could give one travel tip, what would it be?
My biggest travel tip would be, and this is spoiling yourself, it would be when you first arrive somewhere, be kind to yourself, go get yourself a massage, just relax. And that way, if you've done that, you can get through the rest of the day, stay on the time zone and don't go to bed till it's just after dinner. Even if it's 6 o'clock, who cares? But try and stay with that time zone. And then the next day, get out there and explore. But just be kind to yourself when you first arrive, spoil yourself, and then you will feel so relaxed and ready to go the next day.
I love that one. I'm going to put that one in my pocket. Well, definitely, yes, I'm very naughty. I hit the ground running usually. So this year has taught us to slow down. Any year, get to a, slow down and just get into the zone of the place. And my travel tip would be call Rochelle.
Thank you.
Shameless plug, but no, honestly, I so value your experience. You'll be probably my number one go-to gal for the future. And I just thoroughly enjoy our conversations, and I just cannot give you enough credit for the way you've handled yourself and your team this year, and your clients are blessed to have you.
Yeah. No, thank you. As I said to you, you're my biggest motivation. I get those little messages, what have I done this week? And I start feeling guilty. Well, I better put something down. So, thank you. You've really pushed me a long way. It's been great building our friendship, and look forward to seeing you in February.
Yes, we're going to see each other in real life. Yeah. Real thing. And you know what? I'll probably have to do an episode around that lovely little retreat too, and connecting with those women. And another different type of travel experience for us.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it'd be great. It'd be great. But thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening, everyone. And just a reminder, you can find us all over the internet. lovelytravels.com, that's lovely with double L, or send us an email, info@lovelytravels.com. Where else, Emma?
They can join us on Facebook at our Facebook page named Lovely Travels, or you can join our awesome community of travellers and people interested in all things travel. That's the Lovely Travels community. And then you can also check us out on Instagram at Lovely Travels. So always with a double L, LOVE LLY, travels.
That's right. Just we'd really look forward to you dropping by, having a look, leaving a like, subscribing, telling your friends, getting your mum to listen. Call your mum. You haven't called her in a while. She'll be really happy.
That's it. And we'll see you again next week. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.